Welcome back to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290, 564-1290, also RadioRealEstate.com. Search MLS listings. Listen to the program. After the program, you couldn't believe it the first time? Let's go to RadioRealEstate.com. If you just tuned in, you're about 30 minutes late. We start the program at 6 minutes after the hour, but thanks for joining me. We just got on the phone with me, Chad Stevens. Good morning, Chad. Thanks for calling Radio Real Estate.
Good morning, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
Now, a lot of people might know Chad Stevens as Chad's, a wonderful establishment in a historic building on the, is it the 600 block of Chapala Street?
Yes, the 625 Chapala.
Now, I was just talking with Ron Wolf, and during the break off the air, I told him you were going to be on, and he goes, oh, yeah, I've been down to Chad's dinner and whatnot. And I said to him, are you married? He said, yeah. I said, so I guess you don't go down there during happy hour to look at all the young women that Chad seems to attract. And he said, absolutely not. But my question is, in fact, have you seen Ron Wolf down at Chad's alone, being a wolf, if you will?
If I did, I wouldn't even tell anybody or you.
So what happens at Chad's stays in Chad's.
Exactly.
All right. So you, your last name, Stevens, people might not ring a bell, but your mother's maiden name was Battistone?
That's correct, Mark.
Now, the Battistone and the Bonettes are a family that's, or not a family, but two people that came together and started a restaurant called Sambo's.
Yeah, back in 1957.
Oh, I was 1 year old, and you weren't born. So,
no.
So the original Sambo's on right at the beach on Cabrillo.
Yeah, 216 West Cabrillo.
What's the address?
216 West Cabrillo, or right across from the sea landing, pretty much.
Right, right. Now, you know, it's funny. I don't know if I've ever been to that Sambo's, and now after talking to you, I feel like I really need to go down there. Looks like our producer has eaten there. In fact, the way he looks like he's been eating there a lot. Everyone in the station is kind of overweight, including me. But so the original Sambo's, 1957, and now you own it.
We run the business. The property has been in my family for a while, and my uncle and my mom own the property.
And that's another key is, mm-hmm. is boy, owning a restaurant and owning the real estate. I know that Joe's recently changed hands. Nancy Perry was the owner for many years.
That's correct.
Owning the business and the real estate.
Right.
And our local restaurant fanatic buyer.
Gene.
Gene Montesano, great uh-huh. guy. Met him down at Joe's. He bought the business and real estate. Now, so that's kind of great. So you run the business and you run Chad's restaurant.
Yes, when the available time is there.
Now, Sambo's starts in 1957 with families, Battistone and Bonettes, and they start with one restaurant, and they start expanding. How big and far did they get?
They opened up their second restaurant, I think within a year and a half or 2 years, up in Sacramento. And then after that, it sort of went gangbusters, and within about 15 years, I think there was over 1,000 restaurants. They started off here on the West Coast and jumped over onto the East Coast and sort of moved up the line and then slowly squeezed into Middle America.
So that brings us to, say, 1972 range in the early 1970s.
That's correct.
These guys own 1,000 restaurants, and they all franchise kind of like McDonald's is, or how did that work?
Well, it's I don't know if people are familiar, but it's sort of similar to Outback or even Kinko's. Paul had written a book recently about Kinko's, and it was based on a fraction of the action, whereas if you're an operator, you could put money into it, and how hard you worked, you would get a piece of the pie, basically. And that created a lot of motivated managers and slash owners, which motivated the growth of the restaurant.
So that's the way the Outback and Kinko's, that's their format. And was
Sure how much their format's slightly different, but it's a format that's been used and copied because it was so successful. As anybody knows, if you work harder and you get paid more for that, you're going to continue to work harder.
Well, I know I believe that. I'm not certain about a lot of other people in this town. But was this format, did they create it, refine it, just make it better? I mean, was it happening before Sambo's 1957?
It might have been. I don't know how it came about, but I know that when they were thinking of opening up the second one, they said, well, how are we going to, you know, operate both of them and motivate the manager? And they started this fraction of the action back in that time, it would cost about $100,000 to open up a restaurant. So you'd put in either $10,000 or $20,000, and you get 10% or 20% of the business. So then you'd have an owner on the site. And Sambo's could control 51% to stay in control of the business at all times, but the owner can own up to 49%.
Very clever. Now, what about, I remember watching biographies on Ray Kroc, who started McDonald's, and his main game was not selling hamburgers as much as it was he'd go into a town and buy the real estate and then build a McDonald's there and then get, however he did his partnerships, and then he ended up owning real estate. Did Sambo's mirror that?
Well, they were very smart about it. Definitely, they would go in and buy real estate and like to control the whole pie, if you want to call it that. And they would move and look for properties, and they have people research them and buy the property and then put the building on top of it. And then the owner, or they would get capital from the people that would be in line to say, hey, I want to operate a Sambo's. And they would put money down, and they'd use some of that money to purchase a Sambo's.
Now, Sambo has some kind of, I don't know what the story is, it's some kind of a caricature, some kind of a negative racial connotation. Is there some story like that?
And well, there is some stories.
I don't even know what it is.
The term Sambo has been used in a negative light with some people. But for the most part, it's an Indian character. Not most part, it is. The character is an Indian child that was written by a woman that was in India, and her characters were drawn in bright colors, and the tigers are from India. There's no tigers in Africa. And this young boy goes out with all these new clothes that he got from his parents, and these tigers progressively take off a piece of clothes because promising not to eat him. Well, at the end, all the tigers see each other and chase each other around a tree. They turn into tiger butter. Little Sambo brings home that butter for his mom, and she makes him 99 pancakes. And so that was the story. And it just really went well with the theme. During that time in the 1950s, pancakes became a very popular thing. They said, hey, look, here's a great story. And coincidentally, my grandfather's name's Sam, and his partner was Newell Bonnet, and nicknamed Bo. And Sam and Bo got together and opened up a restaurant, and that's how it started.
So it was both reasons. And so that sounds like a very harmless, fun little story. Why would anyone use that? It's not as if you had one of those little jockeys, like a black jockey holding in front of every restaurant.
That was even protested at the time, too. I think, in our sad to say, in some aspects, our culture has become very angry at a variety of things. The little Hispanic mascot for Taco Bell, I can't remember what the Mitiquito or whatever, the little guy, that was caught up in it. But during that time was the 1970s when there was, the civil rights movement, and anything that seemed to be racist was taken upon to be. And it went to court, and nothing was ever proved. They tried to fight it, and nothing was ever proven about it.
But the fact that there was one restaurant in 1957, and then there were 1,000 restaurants, and now today there's one restaurant, did that have any impact on that? Why the demise of a national chain of pancake restaurants?
The main reason was, two of them, I think. One was over-expansion, rapid expansion. But the main reason was when I was talking about the fraction of the action earlier, they were on the stock market, and they had been on the stock market for approximately, I think, 7 or 8 years without anybody saying anything about this. But they were reporting the money that the managers put in to invest into the business as income. And the SEC says you can't report that as income. That is actually sort of a deposit. And when they did that, it made Sambo's have to change the fraction of the action. And so they did change it, and in approximately about 2 months, 600 managers left their posts.
Oh my God! Because it wasn't as capitalistic, and it wasn't as attractive.
Exactly. Hindsight's always 20/20, and maybe if they had done something different, that might have changed it. After my family had moved out, and it was a publicly traded company, a new group took over and tried to run it very efficiently. And the restaurant business is a customer service business. And in the efficiency, they try to cut back on labor and stuff like that, and you just can't do that in the restaurant business. And so it sort of compounded the problem. Sambo's could have survived that, but I'm sad to say it didn't. But I'm happy to have the first and last.
So the family got out. It became a publicly traded company. So any real estate that was owned, is that long gone? Or did the family hold on to any real estate?
No, that's all long gone. I mean, that was all part of the publicly traded company. And, you know, it had to pay off its debts when it went to Chapter 7. And everything was sold off to a variety of different corporations, from Baker Square, which is a Vicorp, or Denny's and Bob's Big Boy. And it's a sad story, and it is what it is.
Do you think it was a fair ruling? SEC, has anything changed on that kind of a ruling to count that as income or versus deposit? Did they have to make that move? Was someone skimming money off the top? Why would they come in and make such a change like that?
I mean, I'm not too aware about it, and I'd sure hate to stick my foot in my mouth. I've talked to my uncle about it. It was just a combination, I think, of things.
Right.
That being one of them, like I said, the overexpansion. You saw Boston Market, one of the high-flying, or even the most recent donut shop that's opened. You know, they overexpand too fast, and all of a sudden they can't handle it, and they shrink down a little bit.
Okay, so we're not going to see another Chad's restaurant opening soon, are we?
Well, who knows? You never know. Another Sambo's or Chad's.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when I'm in your restaurant, it reminds me of the Seinfeld episode where they kept coming in and all the waitresses were full-figured. And Elaine got all upset saying, well, he's just hiring full-figured girls. Turns out they were all daughters of the owner. And I walk into Chad's and, where do you find these girls?
Oh, I mean, we live in Santa Barbara. We're very fortunate. I think everybody in Santa Barbara are probably one of the more athletic towns in the nation.
Well put. But you're happily married. You have a child.
Yes, I have two children. I've been married we'll be going on 13 years. And we opened up the restaurant, and they got married right after we had opened up the restaurant.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So the original Battistone and Bonnet, it was Sam Battistone.
Yeah, and Newell Bonnet that put their names together and opened up Sambo's. And I mean,
what are they both gone?
My grandfather passed away about 10 years ago, but Newell is still going strong and as active as ever.
Did he go to Hawaii?
Yes, he bought property in Hawaii. Was very smart when Hawaii wasn't as populated or popular, and bought a huge ranch out there, from what I gather. But has recently sold it and moved back to Long Beach, and is living very comfortably.
One of the crazy things you do at Chad's is, I don't know if you do this every Monday night, where you walk around and you toss a coin. What's that about?
Yeah, the Monday night flip, where we flip a coin. Actually, flip two coins. One coin to determine whether your appetizers or your entrees are going to be for free. And then after that, whatever this first coin says we're going to flip for, which would be the appetizers or entrees, then I flip a silver dollar. And if you call it right, I buy all your entrees. Generally, every Monday night, we give away about $1,000 to $1,500 worth of free food.
So the first coin determines if it's going to be appetizers or entrees.
Yeah, because
and then
a lot
the second coin determines if it's going to happen at all.
Exactly. Because
okay.
A lot of our bar guests come in, we'll just have appetizers, and so they want to be part of the flip. And so this way, if you order appetizers and entrees, then you're guaranteed that you're going to get a second flip. But if you only order appetizers and the first coin shows entrees, then you don't get that special coin flip.
Right. That's a wild idea. I mean, it seems like you're always busy. It doesn't seem like you have to do it, but it's a heck of a promotion, and people must really love it.
Oh, it's a real fun. It's we took a night that's traditionally slow and generally a non-busy night to be a very busy and fun night. I'd venture to guess that we're probably one of the most busiest restaurants on a Monday night in town. It makes it fun for the staff, everybody. We just really enjoy it, and especially with this great weather like today, with our large patio out there and everything, it makes it a great night.
Yeah, well, I like your Thursday and Friday happy hours when I usually run in there and say hello to Santa Barbara's female population.
Yeah, and the interesting thing that's happened on Chapala now, and I don't know if you talked about it, but the whole real estate change up down there. I don't know if you've seen the city paperwork on that, but that whole new corridor is going to be a new retail district. And as we see the new property being built across from the Paseo Nuevo, And then down at the very end of Chapala, or I would say at the end, before you get to the highway, you already see the completion of the buildings there, and on the right-hand side, they're building there. So Chapala is going to become this new corridor of business.
I'll be happy only if my favorite Mexican restaurant comes back. It was on the 700 block of Chapala, same side as you.
The Red Bull?
The Big Bull.
Big Bull, excuse me.
Is that coming back?
I don't know. As a matter of fact, it's a favorite of mine. It would be a great place, since we're not open for lunch. We would zip up there and have it. I felt like I was stepping over the Mexican-American border and going into Mexico when I went there.
I was always the only the only white person when I went in there, so I knew it was good and it was cheap and it was just great, great food. Maybe we should get together and become.
Ask them to come back, but yeah, that whole Chapala corridor. I mean, the property and everything that is just changing down there. For that matter, all of Santa Barbara. It reminds me of when we opened up Chad's. The lower State Street was an area that you never went on, and now it's become the most prized area. And I think and hope that that's going to happen with Chapala.
Chad Stevens, owner of Chad's Restaurant, and family history of Sam Battistone and Noel Bonnet. Very interesting to have you on the program and bring us up to date on the marriage of real estate and restaurants and a fraction of the action. You know, that's how I make a living.
You have to get those advertisement sales in there.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to look forward to heading down to Sambo's. I'm going on an extreme diet, though. I don't know, man. The first thing I'd want to get is some bacon and eggs or something, but I'm going to have to.
I got fresh fruit down there. We can hook you up with something nice.
We'll do
and light.
Something little. I got to lose some weight before the end of this year.
Oh, come on. You're not that bad.
Oh, trust me. I was getting my hair cut yesterday. I get it cut every fourth Sunday, and she's putting me up on this chair, you know, that kind of bounces up and down, and I feel my whole midsection jiggling. And I'm thinking, this is not good. This is disgusting.
You're just going to come to Chad's happy hours and just have liquid diet all the time.
That'll work. That'll work for me. Hey, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mark. You guys have a great day, and enjoy the rest of your Monday.
Thanks, Chad.
Okay, see ya.
Thanks. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, RadioRealEstate.com, RadioRealEstate.com, or our phone number 564-1290. We'll come back for the fourth segment and do the weekly multiple listing sales update.